Before we get to episode 130, I'd like to ask for your support of the I Can't See You podcast. You know, Prime Day is coming up next week, and if you go to icantseeyou.com/Amazon, that will take you to amazon.com. When you make a purchase there, we earn a small commission, somewhere between 3 and 8% usually. It doesn't cost you anything more, and it helps out the podcast with all the expenses that we have. I really do appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 130 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for this episode, a Father's Day episode, sort of, kind of. I'm going to talk a little bit about the kids, and that has to do with Father's Day, but it's not Father's Day related. And obviously, a little bit later on, I'm going to talk about some retail issues and customer service things that just remind me of my dad whenever we go through them. But before I get going, I do want to mention, as I said last week, Jane got a new job. And as I record this, she is finishing up the final day of her first after college graduation job. And she's been working PR in New York since, I guess it was, she got hired in July, started in August of 2019. So she's wrapping up today, and just a lot of stuff obviously going on. She's wrapping up today because in New York, Juneteenth is already a holiday. So the office is closed tomorrow. So she has a short week, which is good because she's got a lot of packing up to do because, as I've said many, many times, she's been working here in Swarthmore since March of 2020. She came down here March 14th of last year and has been here ever since. So it'll be nice that she's out of the house. I mean, we're not pushing her, but we're happy to drive her there. And that makes what I say now so exciting. When she starts her new job next week, and everybody told her to try and get a week off in between, it didn't work out that way because of some back and forth things going on. So she has basically a long weekend to get her stuff together down here, get up and get into her new apartment, which she actually went into her current job one day earlier this week to do a day of work there, and they needed her to do some physical things with some product. She's, as I've mentioned before, in beauty PR, and one of the things they do, and the only thing they really need to be in an office for, is when they do these send-outs. You know, an editor needs a product from a specific company. Jane has landed one of her clients on today twice. Actually, one has already aired. That was last week or week before. One is coming up for Prime Day, which I mentioned in the pre-roll. Prime Day is next week, as I record this, next Monday and Tuesday. So she had to go in to do a little bit of stuff with some of the physical products that they had there in the office before she left. And that's a whole other story, which I won't get into now. But she went up to New York, actually got to see her apartment, spent the night in her new apartment, which is more than she did in the last apartment. She rented it for a year and never stayed in it. So this one she's finally slept in, and we'll get to see it on Saturday when we take her up with all of the stuff that she has here. I'm looking forward to it because I haven't been to New York since July 1st of last year when we moved her from her first apartment down in the Financial District to her Upper East Side apartment. This new apartment, as I've mentioned, is back downtown in the Financial District, very close to her current job, not as close to her new job. So she is actually going to need to take the subway to get to her new job. So that's that's a little bit disappointing because that in itself was a savings of probably $100 a month for the unlimited subway pass, which she'll now have to buy again. So, but Saturday we're driving her up there, and you know we're going to have dinner in New York, and we'll get to see her apartment, and you know help her get her area set up. Her roommate has been living in this apartment since January, I think, the end of January. So we'll get to see it. Again, we're very familiar with the area that it's in. If you're familiar at all with New York City, the Fulton Transportation Subway Station Hub is right across the street and half a block away. So makes it nice and easy for her to get just about anywhere in New York. And that part will be great. But I'm looking forward to getting back to New York City. Like I said, almost a year since we've been there. And nice to get out and about. Another thing that, and speaking of new jobs, Jacob has left Target. He'd been there about 2.5 years. So roughly a little bit longer than Jane, probably about 6 months longer than Jane at her current job. But Jacob has left his job at Target and actually has another interview. He's looking to work in Pennsylvania. They have this antiquated system to buy alcohol through state stores. So he has he started the process a few years ago, and then I don't remember exactly what had happened, but he ended up getting the job at Target and then put off the state store thing. He had taken the test. You have to take a civil service test to actually do it. So he has another interview. He's already, you know, cleared the one hurdle. So it looks like he will probably end up there in the coming weeks. But fingers are crossed that happens. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything yet and jinx it. And it'll be interesting to see, because the place that he applied to is in Media, near our old house that we moved from 5 years ago. There is one closer, but it's not open yet. So I'm hoping that he gets into the one in Media and then can transfer to the one in Springfield. It would just be a lot easier for him to get to. And so looking forward to that, and good luck to him on that. I hope that works out, because that would be great. And I think it'll be a little bit better than Target, because he did have some issues at Target, and that's what it got him motivated to leave. So two things that I really want to concentrate on in this episode, and I'll start with Philly Meetup for the Blind. A few weeks ago, I was talking to my friend Lisa, and you're familiar with her. I've started a new podcast with her, and I don't have links yet. They're not up. It's not up. And that's a story for another day. And very frustrating to me that, you know, Lisa and I did this episode and have launched this new show, and it's nowhere to be found because I don't have control over where it goes. I'm actually looking into putting up a website for it. And I sigh, because whatever I do for it, it's going to cost me to do it. So that's why I sigh. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I've given myself a date of tomorrow, Friday, the 18th, to, if it's not up then, to go ahead and do it. And it's just a lot of work. And like I said, there will be an expense. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But Lisa and I were talking on the phone, and I don't remember if it was regarding the new show, which is called White Canes Connect, or if it was some NFB thing related. It was some sort of blindness related, or it might have been about an article she had written. We might've been talking about that. I don't remember what it was, but in our conversation, she mentioned the Philly Meetup for the Blind, which is a group that I'm part of, but I never go to the WhatsApp group, because that's, you know, everybody talks on that and you know, messages on that. I don't go to it because messages come through at all hours of the day. And every time a message would come in, I would get the notifications. And it wasn't terrible that I would get them at 2 a.m, but when I got them some at like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m, you know, they would, you know, if it's 5 a.m, Liz isn't even up at that point. She gets up around 5:15. And, you know, if it's at 6 a.m, she's already out of bed, so it's not a big deal. But, you know, obviously I'm still sleeping because I, as I previously mentioned, stay up very late. So I shut off notifications. So I always forget. I never go there. I never go to see what's going on and see what's happening. And the group has been meeting basically every month, the last Thursday of the month. And, you know, when I think about it, if I remember, I will check in and see. Now, the problem with Thursdays for me, since we got the dog, I usually record my podcast, unless it's an interview. I usually record the podcast on Thursday afternoon. I put the dog in the cage and, you know, give him a treat to go in there, which he is all happy and ecstatic about. And then he rests once he finishes his banana filled Kong. And it's frozen. We put it in the freezer. He loves it. So You know, so sometimes, and now that school is done, it'll be a little bit different. But with the virtual meetings of Philly Meetup, they usually started at 6. Liz usually got home at like between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. So if I could get downstairs after she got home to finish uploading the podcast and getting it published, I would join the meetup. One day I was doing the meetup and I had a problem uploading the podcast, so I had to drop off the meetup to do that. One week we were buying the car, so I missed, you know, 1 month, that was last month, May. You know, so I've been hit or miss with that. So I was very excited when Lisa told me that Philly Meetup for the Blind was going to do an in-person meetup. And it was last night at a restaurant that we went to within 6 months of everything shutting down, called Victoria Freehouse. It's a British style pub in Old City or Society Hill in Philadelphia. It's right on Front Street. It's right around the corner from one of my favorite ice cream places called Franklin Fountain. So had Liz gone with, if we went in and Liz went, you know, obviously we could eat dinner at Victoria Freehouse with everyone and then walk around the corner and, you know, get ice cream, you know, for a 10,000 calorie evening. But I'm telling you, both are very good. Franklin Fountain, take cash to Franklin Fountain. They don't take anything else. So when Liz told me, well, that was her last day of school Wednesday, and, you know, she didn't seem too keen on going. And I thought, well, you know what? I still like going and I'm going to go. Maybe I'm going to go. And, you know, every night we take Ziggy out for a walk and we walk about a mile. Some days a mile, some days it's like 1.2 miles. It's a route. Sometimes we change it up if the weather is threatening or it's a little bit rainy. We went the other day with the weather threatening and, you know, thunder and lightning in the distance, and we still took the long route. Again, not that it adds that much time. That 0.2 miles, you know, maybe adds 7 minutes with the dog, you know, and there's a traffic light involved, and that is also the reason that it extends it. So I realized after Lisa and I had talked that if I were going to go on my own, I was going to have some difficulty if I felt the way I did and the way I have over the last, you know, month or two or three with the psoriatic arthritis. And I know I've mentioned it here previously, but, you know, most of my joints hurt. Not a big deal for walking. My knees hurt all the time. My feet hurt all the time. But the thing that for me that is the hardest is using my white cane to navigate when my hands really hurt. And I realized this one day last week that if my hands were bad, I wasn't going to be able to go. My hands and wrists always hurt. They're always swollen to a degree. And I thought, you know, if I have to make this walk, once I get off, once I take, you know, public transport into Philadelphia, and, you know, once I get off the whatever vehicle I'm going to be on, there's going and coming and going. There's two ways you could go. If I felt great, I would just get off the train and walk the 7 or 8 blocks from the train station to the restaurant. You know, on a nice day, I've done that. I've done the walk before. It's nice. You walk past Independence Hall. And to me, it's just, it always makes me feel like it always gives me a sense of wow when I walk by. I walk by there, and again, I can't see it that well, but I know it's over there at night. It's lit up. It's really nice. And, you know, I think the whole thing, everything that we're doing here started right over there, and you're maybe a block away when you're walking down Market Street because it's over on Chestnut. So it's, you know, it's one block away, but there's nothing in front. There's a building that has the Liberty Bell, and then it's a wide open city block where when there's concerts at Independence Hall or things going on at Independence Hall, people, you know, sit, you know, on the ground out in front in the city block. It doesn't give me chills, but it just makes me, it's almost magical to walk by there because, you know, you see it on coins and you see it other places and you think, hey, I live right near there. I mean, all right, it's a half an hour, but you know, I live near there. And, you know, so I was looking forward to going, but, you know, it's been so bad that I just didn't feel like making that walk, even if I got off, if I got off the train and got on this thing called the Market Frankford line, that would take me to Second and South. It's still a couple blocks. And then coming home, there was still the mile from the train station to the house. And granted, it would be, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So there's not going to be a lot of traffic because headlights, as I've mentioned before, the glare is something I see best. I worried about that walk, again, on a sidewalk when sweeping back and forth and every 3 feet, there's the joint, that sometimes there's a little bit of a lip and sometimes there's, a dip, but a lot of times it just gets stuck in that, as I sweep, I get stuck there or I get stuck, in the grass or in like a shrubbery bed or flower bed that's right up next to the sidewalk. And I just, as I was walking and I was walking with the dog, and again, Liz and the dog walk in front of me and I walk behind, I usually don't even sweep when we're on our walks. I usually hold the cane with a pencil grip because that's the most comfortable and easiest for me to do. It's the least painful for me to do. And that kind of tells me if something is to my, to my lower left or upper right. And with Liz in front of me, she'll say, lip or dip or low branches or branches on the left or trash can on the right or left or whatever. So following behind her, I really don't even need to take the cane if I don't want to. And I do still use it when I cross a street because the way our development is, the neighborhood that I live in, the sidewalks aren't squared. Each corner, when it comes to a corner, it's rounded. So when you cross the street and you go up the little handicap ramp, you don't just make a turn and go straight. It kind of bends a little bit and it's curved. So, once I get on the sidewalk, I'm okay and start to move and I figure out where the grass is on either side. It's okay. And I don't swipe anymore. But crossing the street, finding the curb to make sure I'm not hitting the curb and going to walk up the ramp, but all that, once I'm on the sidewalk, I'm good. But that wouldn't be the case coming home from the train. I'd have to sweep the whole way and it would just be, I'd have to switch hands multiple times just because to give each hand a break. So I was disappointed and that I didn't go, but I just didn't think I could do it. One of the other things I was worried about, as I mentioned, a month or so ago, my cane had broken, the top had broken. And what had happened is at the top of a white cane, there is a strap, like you have for a camera or, something like that. And the top had broken where the strap came off. Well, one of the things that I've noticed when I've been sweeping on our walks with Ziggy, and it's mostly when I sweep, or if we're in a store when I sweep, and in a store or the mall or whatever, it's not as difficult because the floor is very smooth and it's very easy to do. But on occasion, if I'm a little off sync, my left foot, if I'm not exactly in sync, will sometimes kick the end of the cane. And it just... First of all, it reminds me of, I don't know why, but it reminds me of Charlie Brown and Lucy, doing the football. Because I want to miss it. I don't want to kick it. And it's just kind of funny that happens. But sometimes I kick it with my left foot. And I'm not talking soccer style either. I mean, it's full on Tom Dempsey, squared away. Sometimes I kick it really, really hard. And again, if I'm doing the pencil grip when I do this, I don't have much hold on it. Just imagine holding a pencil and, it's a little bit fatter, obviously. And, I don't have a great grip on it. So like it shoots up. If Liz is close, it will hit her or the dog. If I'm really close behind her, which I'm usually not because I usually slow down as I'm getting onto the curb or, figuring out where the sidewalk is. So she and the dog are usually, a little bit, seven or eight paces ahead of me. And we walk at a pretty good clip. you know, the dog doesn't stop much. He will stop if there's another dog to say hello to. And you know, when I say hello, he doesn't say anything. They just sniff each other. Maybe the other dog barks, but Ziggy does not. So I was worried. One of my biggest fears would be, as I'm sweeping, to hit something on either the pavement, on the sidewalk, or, you know, some object, or have it hit the grass or a bed or whatever, and then I lose hold of the cane. And because I don't have the strap, the cane will, I just envisioned it flying out into the road, or, you know, flying into some place where I can't see where it went. And, you know, then I'm out of luck. You know, how I, you know, I thought, you know, I get that now I've got to, now I've got to find some sort of stick or pole or something, you know, to get either to where I'm going or to get home. You know, whether it's in the train station or, you know, in Center City, Philadelphia, or like I said, on my way home. So that also concerned me. So I kept forgetting as time went on. And as I've mentioned before, unless I make myself a reminder, I don't remember to do anything anymore. You know, I spend all day with the dog, at least I did. And now with Liz home, you know, done school, you know, that'll be a little bit easier. I'll have a little more time on the computer, and hopefully I'll be able to keep more things in mind. But usually I set reminders on my phone for just about anything. If I don't, I won't remember to do it. One of the things that I was forgetting to do, and I had hoped to do so I could go, you know, to, you know, the meetup and have dinner and play Quizzo at Victoria Freehouse, was to order the white cane from the NFB. And they have a program where you could do it. And I just kept forgetting. Well, I finally remembered last night to do it because I was, you know, again, I was disappointed that I didn't go. I waited right up till the end to, you know, to say that I wasn't going, which was probably not good. But there were a lot of people that were going to go. And I was bummed. Like I said, I'm bummed that I missed it because, you know, I really liked I got fish and chips the last time I was there. The fries were awesome. The fish was, you know... You know, I've only had fish and chips in the UK a handful of times, and the last time was almost four years ago now, when Jane was studying over there. We had it a few times, and it is just so good. I've tried to get Liz to make it here, and she has not. She's made fried fish, but it's not the same. So I didn't go, and I was disappointed. Now, Lisa also didn't go, so, you know, had she gone, you know, if one of us went, I bet you the other one would have gone. But neither of us went. She was busy. I was achy, as I am today. And just, yeah, I could probably do a whole episode on the psoriatic arthritis. You know, nothing vision related. Although, if you listen to the last episode with Promet from Louis Voice Control, he was having joint issues and took medicine, and that created the eye issues. So maybe it is all related. So I didn't go, disappointed, but you know what? Maybe now, if Liz and I want to go out for dinner one night, maybe we'll go to Victoria Freehouse, and then we could walk around the corner and get the ice cream. Because it's obviously a lot better if if she were with me to share what we usually get from there, because, you know, it's a lot of calories. It's a lot of calories. So that is the Victoria Freehouse Philly Meetup for the Blind story. Hopefully the next time they have something, and now that things are starting to open up and museums are open, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll have something next time at maybe one of the museums that we haven't been to in quite a while, or something like that. So looking forward to the next one, which, again, usually we meet once a month, depending on, you know, what's available and who's available. The other thing that I wanted to talk about kind of ties in with the kids getting new jobs, and more so Jacob than Jane, because, you know, Jacob obviously has been working in a retail environment at Target. And, you know, and it also ties in with my dad, because it's one of the things my dad always used to stress. And it's the easiest part of any retail job, is to just give good customer service. And, you know, so I've been thinking about it a lot lately, you know, and maybe because I'm a little achy, I'm a little cranky too. And I probably am a lot more than a little. A couple of instances where, And the first one is, it's just mind-boggling to me how horrible the service has been from BJ's. Back in May, you know, we moved in this house in October. We bought it last September, moved in October. And, you know, we didn't want to get an outdoor patio dining set because why have it for the winter? We probably wouldn't eat out there much, you know, once it got cool. And so we didn't, you know, we looked, you know, as we were in a store, like if somebody had some sort of closeout, maybe we would have considered it, but we never came across anything. So we figured, okay, once, you know, once it becomes warmer again, once, you know, we get into spring, we'll start to look again. And so we've been looking and looking and looking and looking. And finally, and I can't, and it's funny, I don't know if I didn't mention it to Liz. Liz hates high top tables. If we go to a restaurant and they say, well, I've got this high top table over here, she'll pass on it. Especially if it's a booth, because, you know, she hates when your feet just dangle down. There's no rest or anything. So multiple times, BJ sent out an email with this high top 7-piece patio dining set, which looked really cool. It looks nice. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to mention this to her because she'll never go for it because she hates the high top tables. And finally, after we looked and looked and we were getting tired, I said, you know, it's a shame you don't like the high top tables because there's a really nice looking one from BJ's. It's not too expensive. And I think it'd be great. And the more we thought about it, and she looked at it and she also liked the looks of it. And the more we thought about it, the high top table, and it's not a traditional, like a bar level, you know, which is like 42 inches. This is 36 inches. So it's not dining table size. Like your dining table is probably about 30 inches off the ground. This is 36. But the more we thought about it with the dog and his counter surfing, which he is getting better at, not improving his skill on counter surfing, meaning he's not doing it as much. We thought, well, an extra 6 inches, you know, we won't have to line stuff up right down the middle of the table because he won't be able to get there. There's going to be a greater table area that he won't get to if we have to put something on the table and go and pick up something else and put it on the table. So back on May 24th, I ordered it. And, I think it was May 24th. It was somewhere in that ballpark. It was May 24th, and I ordered it, and I also ordered an umbrella, and the umbrella was very cool. It obviously is sold separately, but the umbrella is seven feet by 9 feet, and, you know, will cover most of the table, and, you know, by the time we're going to be out there, other than maybe if I'm out there with the dog in the middle of the day, by the time everybody's going to be out there, the table doesn't need full coverage of with the umbrella because the house blocks a good portion of the sun by 6 o'clock at night. And by seven, just about all of it is blocked. So, you know, so that part, you know, it'll be mostly for the day. And obviously Ziggy will like, you know, the shade because he goes under the table now for shade. So I ordered the umbrella, like I said, 7 by 9. I would have preferred a color other than red, but the only one that they had in stock when I ordered was red. Okay, great. Not a problem. And the cool thing about this umbrella, it has LED lights on the spokes of the umbrella. There's both long spokes and short spokes. So you could turn either the long spokes on or the short spokes on or both. You know, one or the other or both. So we're very excited. The umbrella came first because that came via UPS. The table didn't come until the 2nd of June. So that day, you know, which was obviously a couple of weeks ago now, Liz came home from work after working a long day, and we put the table and chairs together and the umbrella together. Well, when she put the chairs together, and they're... keep in mind, the chairs are basically together. They just have the brace that holds the, you know, that makes them more sturdy. You just have to attach them. So it attaches to, you know, they're pre-drilled. Everything is pre-drilled. 5 out of the 6 chairs, no problem. 6th chair, screws don't line up. so you can't you can't put the brace on. Otherwise, the table and chairs are good. So we have one chair with an issue. Then we go for the umbrella. And I'm looking at the umbrella, and I'm thinking, you know, where's the base? There's no base. You know, at first I thought maybe it was some sort of wire base that, you know, would also fit into this long, skinny, long, skinny box. And then I realized there's no room in there for, you know, that base. You know, it doesn't attach to the table. And so I come downstairs to the computer. I reread the description. And the description, in the description, the very first thing under the image of the product, it says, in the description, it says, the aluminum base is finished in a glossy black powder coating finish, powder coated finish. I'm like, okay. I look closely, I zoom into the picture, it shows the base, and again, I have my computer read to me, the aluminum base is finished in a glossy black powder coated finish. Now, I didn't feel I needed to read anymore. There were drop downs and things like that. I thought, okay, as I zoomed in and looked, to me, it looked like there was a base. As I read the description, it sounds like there was a base. Why, if there wasn't a base, wouldn't you include the wording something like sold separately, not included? On the BJ's website, there was not a base by the same manufacturer. So how would I know? You know, and again, I pulled it up on my phone to see how it read on my phone. And in fact, to get that wording that I just read to you, and you can see why I don't like to read things because it's hard. You know, I heard that statement. So again, I heard that. So again, it sounds to me like everything is included. Well, Liz calls that day and says, you know, gives the two problems. And they said, okay, well, if you don't hear from us, that means the base wasn't included. And they sent her an email that said to respond to the email with some images of the chair. So we took some images of the chair, and that came a couple days later. She took an image of the chair where it doesn't line up with the screws and whatnot. We never heard anything on either thing, never heard. So a week later, we called back. Same thing, you know, you got to send it. What part numbers do you need for the chair? We don't know. You're the customer service person. Don't you have that information right there? You can see what we ordered. And so we asked about the umbrella again, and they confirmed that the base does not come with it. And Liz at this point was getting pretty mad on the phone because, you know, they didn't respond to us initially other than sending that email to have us send the pictures. And, you know, nothing on the umbrella. And again, you know, the umbrella is still on the website, and I'll post a link to it, in the show notes page. And again, that'll be icantseeyou.com/130. Again, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence. It's only seven letters long. icantcu.com/130. So, you know, so we have to look for a base. And I'll get into the looking in a minute. So after a week, when we call back and get no response from this person, they say, take some more pictures. Obviously the pictures you took already weren't enough. So Liz and Jane go out there and take all sorts of pictures and send them in. And a couple days later, in fact, I think it was earlier this week, I think it was Sunday or Monday of this week, Liz gets a response saying, acknowledge. Not acknowledged. So we're not sure, does that mean we have to acknowledge something or they're acknowledging that they got the images? So Liz responded by saying, does that mean, you know, we have to do something more, you have to do something more. And, you know, again, no response. No response from them. It has just been unreal. So we don't know if there's another chair coming. So we're not sure of anything. So we'll see what happens there. Again, not we have no idea what's happening. And it's just infuriating that you can't get any kind of response. I really wanted to take everything back. And Liz is like, but I like the table. I said, yeah, I do too. And I don't want to carry it back. It's heavy and we'd have to box it up. And believe me, we saved the boxes. But, you know, at this point, they don't care. They just don't care. Or the people who were supposed to care don't care. Somebody doesn't care. So we figured, you know what, if we're not going to take the umbrella back, and I said to her, you know, because they're sold separately, we can just take the umbrella back. And she's like, well, I like the umbrella too. I like the idea of the lights. You know, I like the idea of the size. She said, let's go, before we take it back, let's try and find a base for it. So we go to the Home Depot that's closest to our house. And we within like 15 minutes, we have 3 Home Depots. And within half an hour, we have like 5. And within a half an hour, we have 2 Lowe's. So somewhere we should be able to find a base for the umbrella. So we go to Home Depot, the one that's closest, and we know where the stuff is located in the store. So we go to that section and Liz looks around and she's like, I don't see any bases. You know, maybe there's some outside, but you know what, before we go outside, let's ask, maybe they have them in a separate area. So we go to customer service. Now, at least the girl was somewhat friendly, but she then said to us, oh yeah, the bases would be right over there in the section that we had already looked. And we're like, yeah, we looked there. Is there any other place? I don't think so. And she's like, you know what? Maybe there's some outside in the garden center. And of course there wasn't. You know, so they were the 2 places we were going to go anyway. So she was had no help to us. And, you know, it made me think of my dad, because one of the things when I was a kid, and I mean a kid, I mean, you know, like 10 or 12 years old, and I was working in one of his markets, I was always told, when somebody asks for something, take them to it. Don't point to where it might be. Take them to the product. And so that's what I've always done, whether it's been at the video store that I opened back in 1986, or when I worked for my dad in his markets, or I worked before I opened the video store, I was a manager trainee for someone that had bought all my dad's stores in Delaware. You know, if somebody came and asked for something, I took them to it. And that's how everybody did it. And that's how everybody was trained to do it. You know, when somebody is looking for sleepaway camp, you take them to the horror section and you find it, because some people don't realize that the videos that we had on the shelves were in alphabetical order. And you find the box and you hand it to them so they could take a look at it. And I don't know why I came up with that title. That's the first thing that popped into my head. not because I love horror movies. So the fact that this girl didn't say, well, let's go take a look, I'll come with you. And the fact that she didn't know if they might be outside, you know, it was just irritating. And there were some other, that day, there were some other retail related issues that we had that, you know, I get it. People don't want to work. People especially don't want to work retail. And, you know, I said to Liz, I said, this is why people buy stuff online. Because when you go online, you could at least type in, you know, umbrella base in the search box, and then whatever they should have, if everything's coded properly, everything they have for an umbrella base should pop up. And, you know, and as it turns out, Liz went to, I think she got it from Amazon. She ordered one from Amazon. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of issue with it, because that's just how things work for us. I'm sure that what's going to happen is, the hole for the umbrella is going to, where the pole goes into is going to be either too big or too small, because I don't know that, again, that they had the same manufacturer. you know, that did the umbrella doing the bass. So sooner or later, we're going to have to take that umbrella back. I'm pretty sure. Fortunately, there's 90 days. As far as the chair goes, the lack of communication and the lack of service on that has gotten to the point where I said to Liz, why don't we just take the chair back, the chair and the brace back, and see if they have them in stock over at the store that's not, you know, more than a couple miles away from us here. And, you know, at the end of this week, which is tomorrow, or maybe we'll go on Sunday because, we're scrambling around to get everything ready for Jane to take to New York, for when we go up on Saturday. So once that settles down, maybe that's how it'll go. But I don't understand. It's the easiest thing. You just have to be nice. You just have to be nice. And if you don't know, when somebody's in a store asking for something, you should at least know the layout of the store to say, okay, come with me. I'll help you find it. That's all it takes. I don't understand why people, make it so difficult. I just don't get it. So, you know, that always makes me think of my dad with that. Because it's the easiest part of any kind of business. You just have to talk to a person like another human being. So we did pick up, I know I've mentioned this a million times. When we go to the cemetery, we always bring, some people call it an offering. I don't call it an offering, but we usually bring a quote unquote gift. And in Jewish heritage, usually there is something that's left on the stone, on the tombstone. And they have, in the cemetery where my folks are buried, they have quote unquote stations where there's, you know, pebbles that you can put, you know, you can put a rock on the stone. And we still sometimes do that. If we're just driving by, it's kind of just saying, hey, I was here. And, right after, for the first couple of years after my dad had passed, I mean, the stone was loaded with all sorts of rocks and pebbles and whatnot. But we started doing the, you know, hey, let's bring something for them. And so while we were in Home Depot, I said, you know, one thing for Father's Day, you know, I want to get something, you know, that my dad was always a big stickler, even though there is care perpetual or in perpetuity care for, you know, the grounds of the cemetery and the graves in general or in particular. My dad always, when he would visit, would take a pair of like gardening shears in the car so he could cut the grass around the footstones and, you know, around the tombstone, the big stone. He would do that. And sometimes when the grass had either died or maybe there was, you know, somebody close to my, and let me just back up a little bit. My parents are buried right next to my dad's brother and his wife. So my dad's brother and sister-in-law. And as I think I mentioned, you know, their deaths were, you know, 28 years down to 7 years, you know, 28, then 14, then seven. So my dad would always, you know, take a little extra care. Well, one of the things that, that my dad always liked to do, he would also sometimes take grass seed. And, you know, when we were, not the last time we were at the cemetery, because we were there, the anniversary of his death is the day after Liz and my anniversary, which was last Thursday. So last Friday, we went to the cemetery. We noticed the grass had started to come in a little bit. But I wanted to, you know, for his quote unquote Father's Day, his Father's Day gift, we got some grass seed so we can, you know, we can put some grass seed down because there were still some bare spots on both his grave and my mom's grave. And, we'll, it didn't look like it needed any kind of cutting, but, you know, we'll, you know, clean up where their stones are. My mom's footstone was just put in, back in May, or April. So that one is still pretty clean, but my dad's and my aunt and uncle, may need a little bit of maintenance, but I felt like that would be a gift my dad would appreciate because it's both functional and, you know, doing something, you know, not just taking like we did with my mom and taking coffee or whatever and sprinkling it down. And, you know, listen, maybe that's what why the grass never came in. You know, thinking of him with the retail stuff and all the stuff as a kid, like I said, and again, you know, the cemetery I've gone to so often because, you know, his brother died and my uncle died back in 1970. So we will be over there again this Sunday for Father's Day. And I hope you have a great Father's Day weekend. If you're a dad, happy Father's Day. And if you're not a dad and you want to get your dad something good, I hope you get him whatever you can. And you get to see him at least this year. A lot of folks didn't get to see their dads last year because of COVID and whatnot. And I'm looking forward to kind of a nice holiday weekend, Father's Day weekend, because as I mentioned, we'll be in New York, so we'll have something good to eat that day. And for almost surprising, we're not grilling on Sunday here. Jacob has a doctor's appointment late in media, so we are getting Indian takeaway that night. Jane is not a big fan of Indian takeaway, and since she'll be in New York, we're going to get that. So looking forward to a nice eating weekend. So I hope you have a good one. I really do appreciate you listening. Again, episode 130 of the I Can't See You podcast. Remember, for Prime Day, icantseeyou.com/Amazon. If you've got questions, comments, show ideas, please reach out 646-926-6350. You can also shoot me an email at icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Again, let me know what you like, what you don't like, ideas you may have. I would appreciate to hear from you. That'd be great. Again, thanks for listening to episode 130. Continue to stay safe, be well, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.